morning. You'd like to open your Bibles with me to James, the third chapter of James. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer and ask his blessings on our time together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we come before thy holy presence, thanking you that we have thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for all our acceptance before thee. We pray that you would be pleased to exalt him among us this morning, that your word would be alive and powerful, and Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would cause us to find our hope in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of the saints and for the encouragement that you give one to the other. And Lord, we thank you for the hymns of praise that we're able to join our hearts together in lifting to you in worship. And Lord, we pray that our worship would be done this day in the power of your Spirit. We pray that you would give us the grace to worship you from the heart, that it would not be feigned or pretended, Lord, that it would be a work that you do, causing us to bow in thy presence and to worship you in truth. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We've been looking in the book of Proverbs, and it's impossible to read Proverbs without being impressed with the subject of wisdom. Wisdom, the wisdom of God, is the truth of God. The wisdom of God is the word of God. Wisdom as in contrast to the foolishness of man, wisdom as in contrast to the lies of man-made religion and the lies of this world. It's the hope that the child of God has in believing the word of God, and not just being blessed by his written word, but being pointed by the written word to the living word. For Christ Jesus, the Lord himself, is our wisdom. God has made him to be that for us. And in James chapter 3, the Lord speaks of that wisdom that is from above. And he contrasts it to the wisdom of this world. Notice with me, if you will, we begin reading in verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. The wise are called on by God to demonstrate the reality of their wisdom in their conversation. And this is not just speaking of the way that we talk, but it's the way that we walk. Our Lord speaking to the Pharisees, he said, John, speaking of John the Baptist, came neither eating meat nor drinking wine, and you said that he had the devil. And now the Son of Man comes, eating and drinking, and you say that he is a gluttonous man and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. But I say unto you that wisdom shall be justified by her children. You see, the world hasn't changed. The accusations that the unbeliever makes against Christ against the gospel, against the people of God, is still the same as it was 2,000 years ago. Either they will accuse us of having a devilish doctrine. This is not of God. This is not consistent with what we believe. Or they will accuse us of being lawless and licentious libertines. They will accuse us of having a life that, and the reason they come to that conclusion is because they say, well, if you're not under the law, then you've got no direction. You've got nothing to motivate you or to monitor you to live your life right. And so they will say, well, they're gluttonous men, or they are winebibbers, or they are of the devil. You see, the accusations are the same, aren't they? And our Lord said, no, wisdom will be justified by her children. Now, who are the children of wisdom? You are, I am, we are, the church is. And what our Lord was saying to those Pharisees, he said, the accusations you're making against the children of God are not true. They're not true. And you'll see, you just listen to what they say and compare it to the Word of God, and you will find out that what they believe is true. And yes, even watch the way they live. Their life is not licentious. Their life is not some sort of unlimited libertine life where they just indulge themselves in fleshly pleasures. That's not true. They're not lawless people. Wisdom, the wisdom of God, the truth of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, will be justified by her children. Now, that's exactly what our Lord's saying here in James chapter 3. Let's read this verse again. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works. Wisdom. Turn with me over just a page or so to the second chapter of 1 Peter. Jeff read this in the study this morning with the men. Look at verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, you don't belong to this world. You belong to Christ. You're the pilgrims of the faith, walking in a strange land. I know you get distracted. I know you stumble and fall, but this is not the pattern of your life. No, the pattern of your life is that you follow Christ. Look what he goes on to say. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, that doesn't mean that every believer is going to look at your life and glorify God. That means that those who are the elect of God are going to see that the accusations that are made against Christ and against his church of either being devilish or being licentious are just simply not true. And that the Lord's going to convince them of that and bring them also in the day of their visitation. The day when the Spirit of God visits them and makes them willing in the day of his power to see that the accusations that are made against Christ, against the wisdom of God, against the gospel, are not true. They're just not true. The wisdom that is from above. Go back with me to our text in James chapter 3. Who is a wise man? Who is it that knows Christ, that believes the gospel of God's free grace, that knows that left to themselves, they're nothing but sin, but that they have a Savior who has satisfied all the demands of God's justice, stands as their righteousness before God, and they look to Him and they follow after Him. Verse 14, but in contrast to this conversation that comes from wisdom, and it comes from God. You see, it's God that works in you, causing you to will and to do after His good pleasure. And when your wisdom and your life is not consistent with what you believe, you have the Spirit of God to bring you under the conviction of His Word and of His Spirit, and bring you again and again and again back to Christ, don't you? Look what he says. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So now the Lord is going to contrast the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom that comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from our Father above, with whom there is no variableness. There's no inconsistency. He doesn't change. He's not one way one day and another way another day. Neither is there any shadow of turning. He doesn't take his eyes off his children. He's always there. So he's going to talk to us now about this wisdom that comes from God. It's not like the worldly wisdom. It's not devilish wisdom. It's not sensual wisdom. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. You've seen that, haven't you? You've tasted enough of that in your own life and your own experience to know that this is exactly true. Where there's vainglory, there's contention. Somebody doesn't feel like they've gotten the attention that they deserved, or they feel like they've gotten the bad end of the stick. They're going to jump to their own defense, and there's going to be contention. And that's what the Lord's saying. He said this wisdom that comes of man, that comes of the world, it produces nothing but strife and confusion and every evil work. And the child of God right now is saying, Lord, I've seen enough of that in my own life. I don't want any part of that. Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me. Save me from myself. Save me from the vainglory of my own pride. You know, I mentioned to y'all the other day, I don't know if it was Wednesday or Sunday, that a real good, simple definition for sin is the middle letter in the word sin. And it's also the middle letter in the word pride. You know, that letter doesn't exist in the word grace. It doesn't exist. There's no I in grace. No, we don't. We glory in ourselves and we create strife and envy. And God is saying to us, this is not consistent with the wisdom that is from above. This is not who you are. This is not who you are. It's devilish. Don't justify it. Don't pretend that it doesn't exist. Don't pretend that you're not guilty. Admit it for what it is. That's what he's saying. He's saying, look, lie not again. You see that in verse 14? Lie not against the truth. Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. Lord, I can be so full of I can be so full of self, I can be so full of envy and strife and contention and evil works. Lord, save me from myself. Save me from my sin. This wisdom is not from above. It's not from God. It's from the devil. That's what the Lord's saying. It's clear. And God's people say, amen. I've got no justification, no defense. But the wisdom that is from above, you see that in verse 17? This is what the book of Proverbs is speaking of. You say, how many times the word wisdom is in the book of Proverbs? I don't know, hundreds of times. What is wisdom? It's the gift of God. It's what comes from above. It's from God, and it reveals the glory of God. It's by the grace of God, and it stands in contrast to the things of this world. And the Lord's telling us the wisdom that is from above is first pure. You remember in Philippians chapter 3 where the Lord says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue in them, think on these things. Who is the one? This word pure means to be chaste. It means to be clean. It means to be pure from carnality, faultless, immaculate, holy. That's what this word means. And we have that before God in the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the one that's immaculate. He's the one who's holy. He's the one who's pure. And we're looking to and following after him for all our righteousness before God. Does that mean that we just, if my new man is perfect before God, then it doesn't matter how my old man lives? No, you know that's not true. Matter of fact, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. We quote from this a lot, but turn with me just over a few pages to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Here's where it all begins. This is the first cause of our salvation. I've loved you with an everlasting love. It's the love of Christ that constraineth us. It's the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. It's the first cause of our salvation. You say, well, why would God choose some and not others? Because he loved Jacob and Esau he hated. He chose to put his love on a particular people. I love everybody. But it's the love of God that starts everything. Election is from the love of God. Redemption is from the love of God. Regeneration is from the love of God. Sanctification is from the love of God. It all flows from that pure fountain of life, the love of God. If anything will constrain us, it'll be God's love. Amen? It'll be the love of God. And so our Lord begins by saying, behold, oh, look at this. That word behold means look, look, don't be distracted. This is a glorious truth. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we of all people. Lord, when I look at my own heart, I think, oh, why would you love me? We should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. They don't understand. They can make the false accusations against us. They can say what the Pharisees said. Well, you said of John, who neither ate nor drank, that he had a devil. Or you can say of me, who come eating and drinking, that I'm a gluttonous and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. But the accusations you make are not true. Wisdom. The wisdom of God will be justified by her children. Beloved, verse 2, now we are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. By the grace of God, we are the sons of God. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Oh, what we long to be, we're not now. One of the glorious truths of the gospel is that when we're translated from this world into our Lord's glorious presence, we're going to leave everything of this world behind, all sin, all flesh, everything. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a glorious hope. You mean I'm going to be rid of this envy and strife and contention and sin and all the devilish things that are of the flesh and of this world? I'm going to be rid of that one day completely? Yep. And the believer's heart longs for that experience. We long for that experience because this is the plague of our pilgrimage here in this world. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You see, this is the motivation, isn't it? This is the thing that causes us to say, Lord, save me from myself. Give me Christ. Give me that wisdom that is from above, that wisdom that is pure, sinless, perfect in Christ. Philippians chapter 4, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. Think on these things, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Go back with me to James chapter 3. This wisdom that is from above. It's from above, brethren. It's not of you. It's not of me. It's not a matter of, okay, you know, we just need to try harder. We need to work harder. We need to, you know, turn over a new leaf and be more committed and more dedicated. No. Lord, if I'm going to have this wisdom, you're going to have to give it to me. It comes from above. It's first pure, and then it's peaceable. Peaceable. How can we think about peace without considering the peace that we have with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Reconciled. No longer at enmity with God. The false prophets will say, peace, peace. They will say, well, you can have peace with God if you will do this or do that. Any Jesus, and I say that name with a small j, that requires anything from anybody in order for him to accomplish his will and purpose is not God. It's not God. What does the free will religion say? What does works religion say? Well, you know, if you'll do this, then God will reward you with that. Oh, no, Lord, this wisdom that is from above has got to come from you as a free gift of grace. And it's first pure and then it's peaceable. Lord, I need to have peace with God. If I'm going to be reconciled to God, it's going to be through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. My only hope of reconciliation. Turn back with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ Jesus, should all fullness dwell. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything that God requires and everything that we need comes from above, comes in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, for by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You were enemies with God because you were looking to your works as the hope of your salvation, and God says your works are filthy rags. And now you've come to understand that. You've come to believe that. You've come to understand that the wisdom that is from you and from this world and from your sin is devilish. It's full of strife and contention. And the only way to have peace with God is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22, who in the body of his flesh through death presents you to God, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. And don't miss those last three words, in his sight. Oh, we look at ourselves, brethren, we don't see ourselves as holy. We don't see ourselves as unreprovable or unblameable. There's a lot of things to blame, isn't there? We blame ourselves. We hold ourselves suspect, and we take sides with God against ourselves. We say, Lord, truth, I am contentious and selfish and proud. Lord, give me that wisdom that is from above, that is first pure, perfect, holy. And give me that hope in Christ that would cause me to purify myself, to follow after Christ, to not be guilty of the accusations that the unbeliever makes against the gospel and against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This peace, this wisdom that is from above is the opposite of envy and strife. Lord, how easily offended I can be. How quick I can jump to my own defense. Lord, that wisdom is not from God. It's not from above. It's contentious. It's sinful. It's devilish. It's fleshly. And the unbeliever will justify that sort of thing. They will say, well, I had a right to be angry or to treat you the way I did. And the believer just grieves over how their fleshly wisdom is not from above. See the difference? Where do you stand? Where do you stand? When the Lord gives the qualifications of an elder or pastor, and these are not qualifications that every child of God does not strive for. Every child of God strives for these things. It's not that there's an elite group of men that have qualified themselves to be pastors. No, it's that they've grown in grace to where the scripture says if he's a brawler, if he likes a fight, he's looking to pick a fight, and he's easily offended and engages in conflict all the time, he's not qualified. And child of God said, Lord, I don't want to be a brawler. I don't want to be that kind of contention. That's devilish. That wisdom is not from God. It's not from above. It's really just an attempt on our part to control our circumstances, isn't it? That's what anger is. We feel like we're losing control, and we become full of strife and contention and anger because we're trying to take control of our circumstances. What's that? That's just unbelief, isn't it? You're not in control. You're never in control. God's in control. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Peaceable. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Lord, I want to be a peacemaker. Don't you? Don't you? Somebody come start talking to you about somebody else. You know, that's not really in my business. I don't need to be involved in that conversation. That's not going to tend to peace. That's just going to create conflict and division. God hates it. I hate it. You hate it. If you're a child of God, you hate it. Look back with me to our text. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. Now, let me state this again. I'm not standing here telling you, you know, you all need to do better. You need to work harder. You need to try harder. We're exposing ourselves for what we are by nature. Lie not against yourself. Lie not against the truth. Admit it for what it is and cry out to God for his grace and his mercy in Christ to give you that wisdom that is from above. Is that clear? Isn't that the walk of faith that we're on? It's gentle. You see that? It's mild-mannered. It's moderate. It's not given to extremes. It's not, you know, it doesn't have extreme emotional responses one way or the other. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. We've all done it. We've all had knee-jerk reactions or over-emotional responses to a situation. And what the Lord's saying is, lie not against the truth. That's not right. That's not from God. That's not from God. The wisdom that is from above is gentle. And God gives you his wisdom, and he gives you Christ and all that's in Christ. There's a gentle spirit that comes with that wisdom. And every child of God says, that's what I want to be. I want to be a gentle person. I want to be a moderate person. I don't want to be given over to my emotions and to the extremes. The Lord Jesus Christ was certainly that way. The scriptures liken him to a mother with a newborn babe. What more gentle experience can we see in this life and in this world than a mother with an infant child? How gentle she is with that child. And then he likens himself to the good shepherd who cares for the sheep and for the little lambs and carries them in his bosom. How gentle he is. He's gentle. Aren't you glad the Lord's gentle to you? Aren't you glad he's not a brawler? Aren't you glad he's not angry? He remembers that we're made of dust. He doesn't beat his sheep. He doesn't threaten them. He doesn't have to raise his voice. He doesn't have to do that. No. We're going to look at this in the next hour about when God speaks to his people. But he doesn't have to try to desperately get control of things like we do. He is in control. And when he's ready to make his people willing, he's going to make them willing. We cannot change one another's hearts. We cannot even change our own hearts, can we? You know, that's what he's in the business of doing. I hope that doesn't sound, but that's what God does. He changes hearts. And the child of God said, Lord, change my heart. Lord, change my heart. Give me a new heart. He's God. He doesn't have to threaten. He doesn't have to holler. He doesn't have to raise his voice in the streets. I mean, I'm all for passionate preaching. I think it ought to come from the heart. But the old-timey hellfire and brimstone hollering kind of preaching, I've never been a big fan of it. You know, it just seems like the Lord speaks gently to us. Comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably to them. Speak to their hearts. Don't browbeat them. Don't abuse the sheep. That's not my spirit. That's not the wisdom that comes from above. The wisdom that comes from above is gentle. And what an effect that gentle spirit has. Aren't you glad the Lord was gentle to Peter? Tell Peter that I've risen. And then when the Lord speaks to Peter there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he says to him, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, now you know from your own fall what it is to be broken and wounded over sin. And the people that you're going to be preaching the gospel to are the same way as you. Don't be gentle to the sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. The Lord was gentle to David, wasn't he? When he sent Nathan to David, Nathan spoke to David that parable about a man who had a bunch of sheep, and a visitor came to visit him, and he took his neighbor's one ewe lamb and slew it. And David was enraged. And I used to think that Nathan, with fire and brimstone, put his finger in David's chest and said, "David, thou art the man." I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe Nathan gave that parable to David with a broken heart, and Nathan, after giving the parable, said to David, "David, don't you see, David, you're the man. David, thou art the man." And David said, "Oh, I've sinned." And Nathan said, "Yes, you have, and God has put away your sin. He's already put it away." What gentleness, what love, what grace. The Lord dealt with that woman at the well. He was gentle with her, wasn't he? "Oh, if you knew who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, you would ask it of him, and he would give it to you, liberally. Give you living water. Oh, come meet a man who told me everything I ever did." She went up there ashamed. Ashamed to meet with the other women in the early of the morning. She'd been married to five men. The man she lived with wasn't her husband. And most of the people in town just, you can imagine how they would have treated such a person, our Lord. And I must needs go through Samaria. There's a poor, broken, sinful woman that's going to be at the well in the middle of the day, and I'm going to minister to her the grace of God. I'm going to reveal myself to her, and I'm going to do it so gently that she's going to go back into Sychar and say, "Oh, come meet a man who told me everything I ever did." Our Lord's gentle. And God's people want, you see, we want to be like Christ, don't we? We just want to be like him. If we're looking to him and following after him, we want to be like him. That woman caught in adultery in the very act, and those Pharisees were wanting to stone her. Our Lord was so gentle with her. He was so gentle. "Let him without sin pick up the first stone. Where art thou, accusers? Lord, there are none. Neither do I accuse thee. Go and sin no more." This is the wisdom that is from above. Amen. This is God's wisdom. This is the wisdom that's found in Christ. Look at, we don't have time to spend as much time as I want on. Maybe we'll just come back to this. Look at the next one, gentle. And the next one, easy to be entreated. It doesn't object to correction. And that's especially true in preaching. Yeah, I've been doing this for many, many years, and I've had many people get offended at me because I said something that was true about them, and they didn't want to admit it. They weren't easy to be entreated, and they got mad at me because of something God said. I get it. But those who have the wisdom that's from above, when God says something that's true, and I don't care how deep it cuts or how close to the bullseye it is, they are easily entreated. "Truth, Lord, that's me. Oh, Lord, save me. They're not quick to defend themselves. They don't make excuses. They don't justify themselves. They bow. This is the wisdom that is from above, easily entreated. Amen? Amen. All right, let's take a break.